This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulullah wa ba'd. So Abdul Muttalib came to Mecca. Where was he born? Medina, in Yathrib. So alhamdulillah ta'ala. So his uncle brought him to Mecca. So now we will start here inshallah ta'ala. He came into Mecca. His father has died. His father's name again? Hashim. His father's name is Hashim. Hashim has died. So they brought the young son in. The young man started to take over the responsibility of looking after the pilgrims. And they say he did a better job than his father and his uncles. And certain people are naturally gifted for leadership or for certain tasks. For responsibility, he was one of those type of people. You know, he shone above the rest of society or people his own age or his contemporaries. But you must understand, the Kaaba is in the center, but water wasn't anywhere near it. The actual well of Zamzam is exactly 20 meters away from the Kaaba. Do you know in which direction? You know when you go to Tawaf and you start from that black line? You know, straight out of the Hajar al-Aswad? You start from... So you follow that same line, 20 meters, that's where Zamzam, the actual well is. But Zamzam wasn't around at the time of Abdul Muttalib. What had happened? Do you remember the olden days, the tribe of Jurhum buried it and then they ran away and then after that no one found it. So now, although the actual Zamzam is near, but no one knows where it is. So they've dug other wells and other places and are getting water. So when the time of Hajj comes, the Hujjaj are inconvenienced, Abdul Muttalib and his group are inconvenienced. And so one day he's asleep and this narration is by Ibn Ishaq. And it is from Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ibn Kathir mentions it and other of the scholars mention it. But the story goes a little like this. They say Abdul Muttalib was sleeping in the Hijr of Ismail. You know how you have the Kaaba, the tall black walls, and next to it is a little low wall. That's Hijr Ismail. So he was sleeping in the Hijr of Ismail, in that little place there. And he says, some scholars say a light, and some say a voice, and some say a person, or he heard someone say, Uhfur Tayba, dig goodness. So Abdul Muttalib said, what is Tayba? And the voice and the person disappeared. So he woke up. And some of the chronicles say he told the Quraysh that this is what it is. So they said, listen, if it's a good dream, if it's a divine dream, you'll see another one. If not, then it's satanic and forget about it. So next day he went, slept there again. They put his bed in the Hijr. Slept there again. And this time he heard the voice or the person say, Uhfur Barra. And barra is, from goodness, khair, purity, cleanliness, all these things. So dig that. So he says, what is barra? With a ta marbuta at the end. And he said, the person disappeared. So now he knows there's an instruction. I have to do something, but he doesn't know what to do. You know, it's dig what? So he did it a third night. Slept in the Hijr a third night. And a third night, he saw again the person or the light or whatever it was that he saw. And this time it commanded, Uhfur Madnuna. Dig what will be envied, as in dig the treasure. So he says, what is the treasure? What is the thing that people will envy? Again, it disappeared. Now this night, sleeps again, next night. And this time the person comes or the voice comes and it says, dig Zamzam. And then it gives him a little bit of a rhyme, if you like, of where it is. And in the rhyme it says, dig a water that will never decrease and will never falter. And it will, quench the thirsts of the pilgrim strong. And dig where there is a mixture of animal droppings and blood. And where the crow with the white feet or white tail is picking at. Where there will be a village of ants. Where there will be a village of ants. And again, the Chronicles of History have beautiful stories with regards to it. And I want to say something. So when I give the seerah, I give it at times from a historical perspective and not a hadith level. You know, because the requirement of authenticity of hadith is much more than history. But Arab history, to me, is documented better than other histories. And other histories use history, nice and comfortably. So we can use this so long as it's not in matters which affect Sharia, and it is not in matters of ahkam and aqidah and so on. There is a degree of ease in this. So Abdul Muttalib got up and went, and as I say, 20 meters away from the Kaaba, he found the bird or the magpie with the white stripes or the white tail or the white feet, which, you know, the white stripe on its legs, picking on the floor, and he saw some animal droppings and blood. And others say there was a cow running loose, and the one who was trying to kill it's chasing after it. He caught it, he cut it, the blood fell on that spot, and the animal, droppings fell on that spot, so it fulfilled the actual dream. But irrespective of what it was, he found it, and he started to dig. So when he started to dig, initially Quraysh are going, what are you doing, digging next to the house of Allah Rabbul Izzah in the Haram? He was a man of stature, and at the same time, people kind of let him be. And he dug and dug, and people started to come around, because you understand me, the more you dig, the more people, what's he doing? More people gathered around, and eventually he struck something hard. Again, there's a whole array of different narrations in this. So the one that I quote, and he hit something hard and like a metal sound. He cleared it and he found a gold gazelle, like a baby deer. Two of those buried inside there and some other stuff. So now, and they found Zamzam. So now that the treasure came out and Zamzam came out, the Quraysh said that we have a share of this too. It's in our country, the land of our forefathers. Ismail found this, so you're his son. Do you understand me? But before, no one was believing and helping and this and that. So Abdul Muttalib said, no, I've dug it, I've found it. It's mine. I have the rights over the water and the rights over the treasure. So they said, it can't be. Worst case, we will fight you for it. So in this moment, this man respected, revered, adored, all of a sudden feels weak. Because if he's on, your strength is your tribe. Now if your own tribe is going to fight you. And he looks around, all he has is one son. And the son is? Harith. So in his heart, he felt a moment of weakness. So he said, okay, let's choose a judge between us and you. Between myself and you. So they said, okay, we will go. This is one of the narrations. We will go to the soothsayer, if you like, or the diviner in Sham. And, you know, basically there was a lady whose wisdom was acknowledged, you know, who had some hocus pocus practices as well. So, you know, they had that air of mystique around them. So, you know, we will go to that person. So some 30 people went with him. You know, because in case he says the ruling was like this. So they went with him, because they, and it's a big, big deal. Zamzam is here, treasure is here, honor is here, grace is here. So going, they were crossing the desert. In the desert, the water ran out. When the water ran out, it became so tight that they realized they're going to die. So Abdul Muttalib said, listen, there's only one thing to do. Each man dig your own grave. Because it's sure death. And then we'll just sit next to the graves and wait for death to come, because what else are you going to do? And whoever dies, we will bury him and keep burying him until the last person, with the last one, you know, the animals and the birds and stuff will eat, but it's better for one person to be, you know, taken by scavengers than everyone, so we'll do that. So they started to dig. And as they're doing this, a thought occurred to Abdul Muttalib that I'm not going to sit here waiting for my death. You know, I'm going to... So he hit his camel, get up. I'm going to go make an effort, you know. And as the camel gets up, the hind legs, the back legs are up. The front legs, they're about to come up. And under the right hand of the camel, as he moves it, water gushes out. So the Arabs realized, they said, this is a sign. For the one that could bring water for you here in the middle of nowhere, he's the same one that's brought for you water on the other side. So we accept that water is yours. They turned back. They didn't even go to Sham. They came back. And then the rest of the treasures were distributed. They basically cast lots in three. So if you think about it, three rocks, you know, or arrows. On one was written Abdul Muttalib, on one was the Kaaba, and on one was the Quraysh. So they would hold the treasure and pull out an arrow. Whose name is it? If it was Abdul Muttalib, it went to him. And if it was the Quraysh, it would be given to the Quraysh. And if it was given to the Kaaba, it would go to the Kaaba. That way, most of it, or all of it, was distributed between Abdul Muttalib and the Kaaba, and the Quraysh got nothing. Subhanalladhi biyadihi al-maqadir. So Zamzam is discovered. And Zamzam was a treasure to be envied. Just in the middle of the city, 20 meters from the Kaaba, you know, you just do this, give it to the Haji, it is done, instead of going to bring water from here and there. And Zamzam is amazing. You know, I was looking at the well of Zamzam. Normal wells have algae and fungus and things like that. No algae forms on Zamzam. Just by the qadr of Allah, Rabbul Izzah, its nature, its composition is such. Algae doesn't form on it, fungus doesn't form on it, and it doesn't reduce, consistent with the dream. So it's got a low point and a high point, and it always stays between 11 and 18 meters. It doesn't go any lower than that. Doesn't matter how much you pull out. And subhanAllah, from that time, and it's just a well, it's not an ocean, it's a well. It's been pumping out, and you guys go there and bring it in bottles with you, and you know, people visit you and you give them little sips of that, and people drink there and people eat, and for centuries this has been happening, and now it's, you know, people purchase it in shops and so on and so forth, and Zamzam, alhamdulillah, is still Zamzam. So this glorious source of water was rediscovered by who? By Abdul Muttalib. In his family, there's just one man at this stage. It's Abdul Muttalib bin Harith. So at night, he went to sleep. He went to bed. And you know how you think before and you're sleeping, sometimes you start thinking. He's looking back at the day and what has happened. And mashallah, there's a lot of honor. He discovered Zamzam, treasure camp, his honor, esteem, prestige would be, you know, went through time and space, if you like. But there was something troubling him, and that was when he needed it, he only had one son. And the other tribe leaders, You know, there's if you look at the tribe of Makhzum, where this, you know, Khalid ibn al-Walid and, or, you know, Walid and his sons, he's got 11 sons. You know, they say about him, he had 11 sons. And they say the weakest one is Khalid ibn al-Walid. So in that, and Khalid is Khalid, radiyallahu an Khalid, they say, you know, but, so imagine when he used to walk in the shops, you see 11 warriors walking with him. He was man, you know. So now Abdul Muttalib, although a man of huge prestige and honor, he's discovered Zamzam. His ancestry, Hashim, is the one that saved the city. You remember that by introducing Rihlat al-Shita'i wa Saif. Qusay, his other grandfather, is the one that brought them back into Makkah. So they have a lot of honor and prestige. But right now, strength-wise, he was feeling weak. So in his weakness, he made a dua. He said, Ya Rab, give me 10 sons. Let them grow to maturity, and I will sacrifice one for you. So Allah, Rabbul Izzah, opened the gates of children for him. And, you know, when you study history, he has had 19 children. So it was Harith, then 6 other boys who history doesn't record. And then it is the other uncles that history does record. So you got Abdul Muttalib, Abu Lahab, Hamza, Abbas, Abdullah, and I think Zubair is the other one. And then 6 daughters, the aunties of the Prophet. So altogether, 19 children. But the last one in those days was Abdullah, and that was the 10. So he saw the 10 growing, and can you imagine, as he watches the kids grow, in the back of the head, the oath keeps coming up, that remember, you have to sacrifice one, you promised Allah. Like the joy of watching them grow and the fear of losing at the same time. But he was a principled man. So once they reached maturity, and where he could delay it no longer, khalas, it's evident that they have all reached manhood. So he gathered them together and he said, listen, I have taken an oath in my younger days that if Allah grant me 10 sons and they reach maturity, I have to sacrifice one. So what do you say? So they stories are easy to listen to. Put yourself in the position. And min bab al-amana, if your dad tells you in these days that I have to make a sacrifice of one of you, go to the police. There's no two ways about it. It was another time. Or go to your uncle's house, go do something, but don't sit there waiting for the ajal to come. But the sons say what their ancestor said before them. Do you remember the ancestor? Sheikh Muhammad Noor? Huh? Ismail. Ismail alayhi salam, the father came with the same proposition that I have seen in a dream that I am sacrificing you. He said, Ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar satajiduni insha'Allah min as-sabirin. Oh father, do as you have been commanded. So now the children say, Dad, complete your oath, fulfill your promise, we are ready. And the heavy weight on a father's neck, flicking your son is not an easy thing, but now to slaughter. So he takes them all inside the Kaaba. And he calls the diviner of the arrows, the one that does the picking from the Quraysh. And the person came and they cast lots and they pulled out and the name Abdullah. So the father takes his hand and comes, but Abdullah's got a mother, and Abdullah's got sisters, and mothers and sisters will not be, that's okay, sacrifice the son, So, and his mother is from the big tribe of Makhzum, and so, and all the associate tribes have come as well, seeing what's going on, and they know the story, but So they see Abdul Muttalib holding the hand of Abdullah walking out of the Kaaba. So in the politeness, in the sensitivity of the Arabs, the tribe, the chief of the Makhzoom tribe says, Abdul Muttalib, where are you going? He already knows, you see, but what are you going to say? You can't do this, you know? So this is his way of intervening, because that's also a grandchild of his tribe, because, you know, the Makhzoom tribe is, and they're a big, powerful tribe. So Abdul Muttalib turns to explain, I had made an oath in this. So the chief said, not our son. Not our son. Even if it takes the wealth of the whole of the tribe of Makhzoom, we will not let our son be sacrificed. Like, and it was tribal times, you know, those things mattered. So he goes, whatever needs to be done, we will sacrifice whatever, but the son, so what to do? We will go to, the witch doctor. It's not the correct word, it sounds a bit derogatory, but it's probably it is what it is. You know, there was like a spiritual lady in Yathrib. We will go there, and some say in Sham, we will go there and speak to her and see what she says. So they went 450 kilometers at the very least to Yathrib. Yathrib arrived there, they go, no, she's gone to Khaybar. So they went there, and she said, they told the story, so she said, give me 3 days. 3 days later, she comes out, she goes, what's the blood with? What's blood money in your country? You know, blood money means if someone is killed accidentally or someone's killed, by someone else, and you give compensation to the family, what do you give? So they said 10 camels. In Mecca, you know, if someone is killed by someone, 10 camels. If the family asks for blood money. So she said, then put arrows, or if you like in our times, names in a hat, and put one called Abdullah and one camel. So one arrow says Abdullah, one arrow says camel, and pull out. If at the tip of the arrow it says Abdullah, sacrifice 10 camels. Like each time his name comes out, sacrifice 10 camels. And do it until the heavens is pleased. Like keep sacrificing camels until his name doesn't come out anymore. So they went back and they put his name and camels in the lot, and they pulled out Abdullah. So already his name was out once, so that's 10 camels. All right, another 10 camels. Pull out again Abdullah, another 10 camels. Pull out again another 10 camels. It went until 100 camels. So after 100 camels, they pulled out, and the name of the camel came out. So Abdul Muttalib said, do it again. So they pulled out again, camel came out, they pulled out again. So he was happy that the Lord has accepted the change or the swap. And they sacrificed 100 camels. 100 camels is a lot of camels. And as I say, in the time where there's no refrigeration, there's only one thing you can do, is distribute the meat. So you distribute it to anyone with teeth, you know, whoever can eat, take some meat. So men, women, children, animals, meat was distributed out. And meat is a rare commodity normally, you know, I mean, it used to be. Everyone's having, what's this meat for? Or the big sacrifice of Abdullah. And his name went like wildfire across Arab society. You know, and Arabs are, people that like to mention their great things. So it went from place to place, like, you know, the leader of Quraysh sacrificed 100 camels and ransom of his son and so on and so forth. So this man, and to me, if you look at the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Rabbul Izzah keeps on highlighting it. So when time comes for many reasons. One is when you say his father's Abdullah, no one can say which Abdullah. You know, everyone knows this is the one where the 100 camels were sacrificed for. The son of Abdul Muttalib, which one? The one that found Zamzam. The son of Hashim, which one? The one that, you know, might, Rihlat al-Shita'i was safe. Do you understand me? It keeps highlighting. So now, the son is safe. So, the father decides, listen, Alhamdulillah, you know, a narrow miss. Now let's get the young man married. So they got him married to a young lady called Amina. And there's a beautiful little story that the scholars of Sira say about this. So, and because, you know, he's been through difficulty himself as well, Abdul Muttalib, so he figured he will marry Amina to his son and marry Amina's cousin himself. As father and son are going, and they're both grooms going to the, you know, fortress, if you like, of the new in-laws, one of the ladies sees Abdullah going with his father towards, you know, getting married. And she had a brother who was versed in the scriptures of the old, you know, in the olden books. And the brother kept on talking to her about, you know, a prophet is due to come, a prophet, you know, this is what will be the signs. So they say as Abdullah walked past, she noticed a glitter in his eye, like a light in his eye. And she calls his name Abdullah. So the father, the elderly father, and understand it's not a young, ill-experienced father, so the father releases the hand of Abdullah, and she's a distant cousin of his, so go speak to your cousin. So when he comes to her, she tells him that don't go there. Marry me instead, and I will give you the same amount of camels that was sacrificed as your ransom. So that adaban, Abdullah says, I am with my father. Like, I have to. So he went, stayed with his in-laws, got married, consummated his marriage, and he was only there a few days, came back, saw her again. So he said, what about the offer? Because, you know, they used to marry multiple women. So she says, I don't have a need for you anymore. What was in the eye has gone. And this is one of the things that the scholars of Sira mentioned. I haven't found a sanad for it, but I did mention it nonetheless. So the first big moment in Abdul Muttalib's life, you know, after coming to Mecca, is what? Is the discovery of Zamzam. The second one is the sacrifice of 100 camels. And so he's done that, got his son married, and, you know, they used to do the travel of the winter and summer, so now it's time for that travel to happen. So a little bit after the marriage, the Abdullah has to go on his business trip, sent by the family or by the tribe, if you like, and he goes towards Sham. And as this is happening here, there's another situation brewing up in the south. The south is Yemen. So I want you to leave Abdullah here. And in the south, there's a, you know, a great news story coming up in the south.